heard about him for years here in America, and it's a chance for me and you to learn about the real man, Rabbi Meir Kahana. Yeah, my pronounce, first of all, let's get her name pronounced correctly, Rabbi. And it's Meir.
Meir.
Meir?
Meir Kahana.
Meir. Meir Kahana.
Meir, like, daily.
Okay. Meir Kahana. And welcome on a rainy old Tuesday afternoon to the studios of WMCA. We have your book here, Rabbi Meir Kahani. Kahani?
Kahana.
Kahana. Meir Kahana class. Let's all say it together. Kahana. Okay, Meir Kahana. Uncomfortable questions for comfortable Jews. That's quite a title.
Yeah, it is. It's also quite a book. It's an uncomfortable book for an awful lot of Jewish leaders. It asks a lot of difficult questions, which I think a lot of people have just tried to avoid. But these are a question that you just can't run from. You know, every Jonah has his whale.
Okay. Well, what's the first question before we go into traffic here, Rabbi, that makes Jews uncomfortable?
Well, there are so many. I mean, taking one, the essential question I think that the average Jew could not answer rationally is, why be Jewish? Why not be a human being? Now that drives Jews crazy.
Very good. That's a good question. Why be Jewish? For the questions for comfortable Jews, first of all, let's get comfortable and get to know you, probably one of the most controversial Jews alive today. Where were you born and raised, Rabbi?
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
Right. God's country. Well, God's second country.
I see. Okay.
It's a very, very, very special place. I think that only people born there, really. It's just kind of a special place.
Uh-huh.
It really is.
Now, how with tell me a little bit about your family.
I'm married. I have four children, 11 grandchildren, with two more, please God, coming very, very soon.
Well, great.
Yeah, and they're all in Israel, of course.
I see. Well, and you are in Israel. In fact, you're a member of the Israeli parliament.
That's right.
And what party do you belong to?
The Kach party. Kach, which means thus.
Thus.
Right.
How do you pronounce that?
Kach.
Kach. Okay. Be careful with that one. Now, why, being born and raised in Brooklyn, do you have any brothers and sisters?
A brother. In Israel.
In Israel.
Yeah.
Now, how did you... You know, that sounds nice and normal. You had a mother and father?
Yes.
Uh-huh, of course.
Yes.
And why did you turn out to be the most controversial, outspoken Jew on the face of the earth? Why, you know, you bring up your name, Rabbi Meir Kahana, and everybody has their opinion. I was in Chicago a couple of years ago, and I worked there, and you were not allowed. You were run out of town. You weren't allowed to speak at some place.
I wasn't exactly run out of town. It's not that.
Right. I was
run out of town.
I was run out of town, but you were not allowed to speak.
Yeah. What Jewish leadership won't let me speak because I ask really, really painful questions. Now, if you ask me what, you know, made me, well, I mean, what makes any person, I think all of us are just products of environment and heredity and so on. I was born into an Orthodox Jewish family.
Mm-hmm.
My father was extremely active in you know, Jewish affairs and politics. Mm-hmm. I was a child during the Holocaust, and I think that certainly had an impression on me. And you know, when I hear Jewish leaders say, "Well, we didn't know about the Holocaust at that time," well, that's nonsense. I was a child of 10, and I knew about it.
Really?
Of course. I mean, my father would constantly speak about
here
it
here in America, in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn. And then, of course, when the war ended. And the struggle for Israel began, and the Jewish underground groups, the Irgun and Haganah and Sternis, I became active in one of the youth movements for the Irgun. We used to pack guns in Jersey City and in Union City. Yeah, it was a
wonderful.
Well, so I became very, very much into it, and.
And you are the founder of the
Jewish Defense League.
Jewish Defense League.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you people go out and cause a lot of trouble.
Well, I'll tell you something. I mean, I'm the founder. I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Right.
I'm not head of it now. I haven't been tied to it now for the last couple of years. But when you say trouble, of course, I think that causing trouble is sometimes a very, very, very necessary thing. I mean, George Washington caused a lot of trouble in this country, right. Thank God.
Patrick Henry along with him. Yeah.
Exactly right.
He was a rabble-rouser like you are,
well,
Rabbi.
Well, you know, I think one person, rabble-rouser, is the other person's patriot, you know.
Right.
It depends how you look at it. There is no question that, for example, that if not for JDL, the entire Soviet Jewish issue would have never been...
Right, and they're releasing another Jew today.
Another three famous ones. And there is no question that people like the Russians don't understand nice people. I mean, you know, bad guys. You don't sit down with them and say, come, let us reason together. That's the way it is.
Okay.
Bad guys don't understand reason.
Okay, first of all, get back to your basic beliefs, Rabbi Meir Kahana. Now, do you think that Jews should marry Jews?
There is no question that there isn't a single Orthodox Jew in the world that isn't committed fully to that principle. It's in the Bible. Isn't a racist problem? It's a religious question. A Jew who believes that Judaism was given by God.
Now, they're all Jews are a people. They're black Jews or white Jews.
Right.
What about a white Jew marrying a black Jew?
That there's no question. I mean, that there's no problem with. Jews are not a race. And
you would want a white Jew to marry a black Jew?
I would only want a white Jew to marry a black Jew if they, you know, loved each other. But that's the only problem. There is no racial question within Judaism.
As long as you're a Jew.
And that's because we want our children to, you know, carry on our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's an intermarriage, it just is not going to be that way.
Well, then you agree with the Pope and Catholicism.
Absolutely.
Catholics should raise their children Catholics.
Absolutely so.
Okay. What about your party in Israel? You want to expel all the wonderful Arabs and boot them out of Israel. Is that correct?
Yeah, right. I think that whether Arabs are wonderful or not is not relevant. I think that the problem facing Israel was Israel made as a Jewish state, which means as a haven for all the Jewish people? Or is Israel going to be a state in which the Arabs have the right to peacefully and democratically, and not through violence, to peacefully be majority? That is the question. Do the Arabs have a right to peacefully have enough babies and take over Israel, not through bullets, but ballots and through babies? That's the question. And so when I hear Jews tell me, but...
How many Arabs make up the population in Israel?
Within the state of Israel. Now, I'm not talking now about the, you know, areas which were liberated in 1967. Within the state of Israel now there are some 750,000 Arabs. Now you're talking about 750,000 Arabs who within less than 40 years moved from 110,000. Now, just think of that. 110,000 to 750,000 just by natural birth. The only reason why Jews today are still majority in Israel is only because there was a huge amount of Jews that came into the country from outside the country, emigrated there. Arabs made it without any emigration. It's all natural birth. So the second uncomfortable question to, you know, comfort Jews is, do Arabs have the right to democratically, peacefully have enough babies, be the majority, and turn Israel, vote Israel, not through violence, but through the ballot, to vote Israel out as a Jewish state and in as Palestine? Do they or don't they? That's a really painful question.
Okay. Well, we'll open up our lines now. Cleveland. I was in Cleveland 12 years and number one for 12 years. You know, so where I really made it was in Cleveland. Okay. Let's go to our lines. And Scott, on line two. Scott, say hello to Rabbi Meir Kahana.
Hi, Rabbi.
How are you?
I'd like to know, don't you think it's terrible that a country with a Holocaust, such as Israel, would sell arms to South Africa? And if not, why?
Well, first of all, I think that Israel is in a very, very, very tough spot. First of all, Israel owes nothing to any black state. Let's get that clear. In 1973, all of them broke their ties with Israel, and South Africa didn't. I hold no brief for anything, for you know their policies or their government, anything else. I think their racial policies are terrible. I hate racism, and they are racist. But I can name you 10 other black states that are just as racist as, you know, black.
What does that have to do with what I asked you?
Because Israel needs a lot of things that it gets from that country.
So because of money, they're gonna.
No, fella, because of a survival.
They're gonna hurt a racist.
We have uranium coming in from that country, and let's be frank about it. I mean, really, really frank. Israel is surrounded by hostile countries that want to wipe it out. And Israel needs every weapon possible. We owe the blacks nothing. The ANC is a viciously anti-Jewish party, anti-Israel. We don't.
Not all blacks in South Africa.
My fellow, not all blacks and not all whites. On the day that the ANC, which speaks for the blacks there, on the day that they turn against the PLO rather than welcoming them, on that day, we'll start talking business. In the interim, I'm not about to embrace anybody that is anti-Israel, period.
Rabbi, why, and how do you feel about Israelis on the Sabbath, your Sabbath, which is a crazy Saturday? Of course, we all know that the Sabbath is Sunday. The Jews have it screwed up and celebrate Saturday. But anyway, on Saturday, your holy day, I'll give you that, you go out and you kill, 44, 49 PLOs on the Sabbath. How in the name of God can you do that, Rabbi?
Well, coming from someone whose background in the, church, I mean, Christian church is really just a magnificent record of everything is, of that good and humane, and they never killed anybody on the, Sunday.
Rabbi.
The fact of the matter is that having screwed up the real Sabbath, you guys have messed up an awful lot of other things. On the Sabbath, not only is it allowed, it is a commandment to kill people who would kill you first.
Even on the holy day?
Even on Yom Kippur.
All right. Okay, Rabbi, let's hold back, see what you really feel. Pat?
I mean, no fear of that.
Thank you for waiting. You're on the air. This is going to be a good show.
Rabbi Kahana?
Yes.
Is this Rabbi Kahana?
Yes, still.
Shalom, Rabbi. This is your friend Pat, the Catholic Zionist. You remember me?
Pat, how are you?
Good. How are you? Baruch Hashem, I'm speaking with you.
It's always good. It's always good to hear somebody rational.
Rabbi Kahana, good work. You're the only one who has any sense in the Knesset over there. One of the few.
I'll buy that.
You must be driven out of Israel.
Right on, Pat.
Okay, now what is the Knesset?
God bless you, Rabbi.
Pardon?
The Knesset.
Thank you.
Okay.
My prayers are always with you.
Okay, Pat. Thank you very much. I mean, really.
Do you have the audience stacked on this program,
Rabbi? Of course not.
Hello, Alan.
Yes, hi. Rabbi Kahana, my name is Alan Zobuler. I had the...
And speak up, Alan.
Yes, okay, I'm sorry. My name is Alan Zobuler. I've had the occasion to revisit Israel this summer for the second time after having been there shortly after the Six-Day War in 67. And I've seen that there's been a tremendous deterioration in the sense of security since 67 till now. I've had a friend who was raped and is involved in rape training reorientation in Renana by an Arab, and she says that the amount of people that participate in that program is phenomenal. We ourselves, when we went back to visit some of their holy places.
Sir, do you have a question?
Israeli territories.
Alan, do you have a question?
The question is, situation deteriorated so, and what could be done about it? Because it's scary to go around. I don't have the same sense of security that I did when I was there in 67.
Well, you're right. I mean, there is no question that the Arab confidence has, of course, grown since then, and Jewish feelings, of course, dropped. And I think that there's no question that it's the Jews who are to blame for it.
Well, let's go back into history. Why do Jews hate Arabs and Arabs hate Jews?
Well, first of all,
is that
a question of hating or not hating. I may hate Arabs if they hate me. The essential problem is two peoples, each one claiming it's their country, and each one believing it is their country. Now, that leads to a conflict.
Really?
And you can't sit down and say, well, why don't the Jews and the Arabs sit down over coffee and, you know, cake and work it out? Well, land, a homeland, is not a subject to be dealt with over coffee and cake. The Jewish people were driven out of a country, the land of Israel, 1,900 years ago. They lived in that land for thousands of years. And for 1,900 years, they were enjoyed such enjoyable benefits under the Christian nations as pogroms and crusades and inquisitions. And so finally we said, thank you, world, but no thanks.
I see.
And we want our country. We have one country. The Arabs have 22 countries, and they want 23. Well, the hell with that. It's our country. You don't discuss, well, it's... You think it's your country, but it's really ours, so therefore... The Arabs tried five wars. They tried five wars to wipe out Israel, and they lost. That's the problem. The answer to peace is give up Israel. That's not my answer.
Wow.
What happened with the scuffle over the Lavi fighter in Israel?
Well, it was scrapped. It was scrapped. It was last Sunday.
Right, but
you know, cabinet voted, and by 12-11, it was scrapped. And there's no question that the the thing that finally did it in was pressure from America.
Well,
there's no question about that.
Some of the aid that you get from the United States to build the fighter, right?
Right. I think that
I think it's come so much short-sighted because I think both countries could have shared in the technology.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that that plane would have been the finest fighter in the world.
Maybe better than our F-16, they say.
Absolutely so. And I think that the West would have benefited from it. I think it's a very, very, very tragic mistake. And what can I say?
And our guest is Rabbi Meir Kahana, and has long been a thorn in the buttocks of the wealthy, the entrenched Jewish leadership. Your founding of the Jewish Defense League, your demands for the Jewish defense of the poor, the elderly Jews in the inner cities, your taking to the streets in the late 1960s, and your use of violence to draw international attention to the Soviet Jewish problem have all gained you, Rabbi, the hostility of the so-called Jewish leadership. And what you're fighting for is really Jewish survival. And your new book, Uncomfortable Questions for Comfortable Jews. And Rabbi, I understand the book is now available at all the bookstores?
It is.
Okay, great. What do you think of our mayor, Mayor Koch, a Jew, writing a book with Cardinal O'Connor, a Catholic?
Oh, I don't care about that. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. I just don't like Koch, period.
Really?
I mean, if Koch wrote a book with a rabbi, I wouldn't like him.
Sir, Koch is a Jew. And I thought you liked all Jews and hated Arabs.
Oh, I don't hate all Arabs, and I don't love all Jews. I mean, it's a very, very great effort.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very great effort to like Koch.
Really? Okay. Now, Governor Cuomo's daughter, I understand, is marrying a Jew.
That's an unhappy thing.
And that's an unhappy thing?
Yes, it is.
Really? Why is it an unhappy thing?
Because Jews should marry Jews and have little Jewish children who keep up being Jewish. And
right.
Governor...
And then...
And the, you know...
And all
I
Jews...
I think that... Well, what is it?
And you believe
that,
in...
You know,
in,
Governor's daughter... Uh-huh. Should marry a nice Catholic.
What
and,
about the sexual and the sexual and physical barbaric deed that you do to every Jewish boy after the eighth day?
What a magnificent concept. Imagine that on the Jewish boy's body is Jewish.
It is brutal. It is animalistic.
I would.
It should be banned.
I would therefore hope that you don't do it. You don't do it to your children.
I mean, are you guys still offering goats and burning virgins?
No, just Arabs.
Just Arabs. I see. Okay, let's get back to the callers. Hello, Edward. Address your questions to Rabbi Meir Kahana.
Right. This is the second part of my question. What is more of a commentary than anything else? I've noticed, and
I'm not going to listen to you, and I've got the rabbi. Hello, Mary. I don't need any comments from you people. I need comments from the rabbi in town for just a while. Hello, Mary. Go right ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, Rabbi.
Yes.
Since there is no one there who is going to present our position, I'd like to say a few things that we never really get on our media.
Are you for the Arabs?
No, I'm for stopping the killing. And
are you for a pro-Arab?
No, I'm not pro-Arab. I'm not pro-Israel. I would just like to bring out a few facts.
Hey, go ahead.
First of all, we as Americans, out of our taxes, are paying approximately $2 billion a year for the state of Israel to exist. Now, when those bombs that we call retaliatory attacks, you know, drop on Lebanese people, those bombs say born in the USA. Now, we are an enemy of the Arab world. So we have a right to say a few things. You spoke about land. The Arab, since 600 A.D., up until that 1,500 years, that was Arab-occupied land. It was called Palestine. Now, I would like every listener out there, what would they do if someone came to their door right now with a book that was 4,000 years old and said, you have to get out of here. This land belongs to me because it says so in my book. This is what happened in 1948 when the Jewish people arrived in Palestine and twisted the arm of the UN to give them this land. Now, we hear a lot of talk in this country.
What should have been done, ma'am?
Well, just a moment. We hear a lot of...
No, what should have been done in 1946 with the communists in the UN?
I'll just finish, because you don't have a balanced show. You know, you have a rabbi there, which is wonderful. But I just want
okay, now, are you pro-Arab? Where are you coming from?
I just want to say that we're not getting correct facts in our
country. Well, say what you mean, Mary. That's all I'm asking you to do. Don't be a token.
No, I'm not being a token.
Are you for the Arabs or are you for the Jews?
I want to say that it was an illegal takeover.
Well, why don't you say what you mean?
Well, I'm saying what I mean.
Well, say it.
Takeover.
Tell this rabbi he stole Israel from the Arabs.
We hear about Arab theft. You know,
come on.
1,000 Lebanese.
Say it, Mary.
Jeez, every single month. Do you know that Gaddafi has free medical, free education from birth until death? We're the richest country on the planet. We can't make that statement. But in our media, these people are called scum. We're not getting a balanced picture. We have to pull out
Amen.
All this money that
Amen.
Is going into Israel.
Did you ever get a balanced picture on this radio station?
Pardon me?
6 months ago? 20 years ago? Did you get balance on WMCA, ma'am?
We have to...
Answer my question.
Yes. We have to stop feeding death with our American dollars.
Okay, Mary, I'm right. Fine. Okay, now...
Shut up, too.
Now it's my turn, okay? Now it's my turn. First of all, about the U.S. dollars. Anytime Mary and anytime Ronald Reagan thinks that they're not getting their money's worth in a strong U.S. ally, an anti-Soviet ally in Israel, stop giving them money. Just stop it. In fact, let me just tell you one thing. On the day that I'm in power, we're gonna ask the American government to stop economic aid. You don't help us with that. We're some junkie that gets his annual fix. Israel has got to learn to stand on its own feet. Private capital, free enterprise, let people work hard. That's the answer. I don't... Wait a minute. I was quiet. I listened to you. Now it is my turn. Okay. The U.S. gets as much as it gives. It needs a strong ally there. What anti-Soviet ally does it have there? Oman? Abu Dhabi? Jordan? Lebanon? Arafat? Come on. That's the first thing. Secondly, we lived there. We Jews lived in Israel. We didn't just come with a book. We lived there before Arafat was a gleam in anybody's eye. And we were thrown out of our country by the Romans 1900 years ago. And not a day passed by that we didn't say, we're going back. not going, going back to our house. And how would you like when, if you came back to your house and you found someone else living in it? Well, we didn't either. Finally, nobody twisted anybody's arm in the UN. The State of Israel came into being not because of a UN vote. The UN didn't send a single bullet to help us. 6,000 Jews died in that war. 1% of the country. Now, I'm not here to argue about whether I have a right to my one country. I'm not going to argue about that. That's a debasing thing for me. It's our country. We have it finally back again. If you like it, fine. If not, eat your heart out.
Well, 1,500 years is a long time.
Well, that's Mary, too bad. It's a long time, but not quite as long as 4,000
years. How are you going to get Israel back for the Arabs, Mary?
That's a question, get Israel back for the Arabs, Gary. It's a question of stopping the killing of young boys. We have a bunch
well,
of...
Well, how about that? So then, if the PLO is going to stop bombing and stop killing, there's going to be peace, period.
To grant the fact that these people were there and they have to have a share in...
A share?
1,500 years.
They had a share in 1948 when the UN... proposed an Arab state and a Jewish state. That was a share. Who said no, baby? Who said no? The Arabs said no. They went to war, and they lost.
That's true.
I certainly do. I want to bring some normalcy into a country which unfortunately has been stricken recently with a very, very specific form of Jewish AIDS called guilt. I want to get rid of this here guilt feeling.
All right, Rabbi. Hey, hello, Paul. Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you. Rabbi, two questions, please.
Yes, sir.
I'm a Knesset and also an American citizen.
Could you speak up, Paul?
Yeah.
As a member of the Knesset and an American citizen, I would like your opinion on the...
Either speak up or I'm hanging up.
Hello, can you hear me now?
No.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, go ahead.
As an American citizen, an American Knesset...
Yes.
I'd like to know your opinion on the Pollard spy case, and plus my opinion on the Israeli-Iran Contra Arms connection. What will you do in the Knesset to help Abba Eben and people who want a fair and open society in Israel... to produce documentation on both cases and not listen to Itzhak Shamir and his great quote, "Those who know will know."
Okay. Well, first with Iran, there is no question that it was, I think, a great, great, great mistake. The only possible reason, the only conceivable reason that Israel could have had for getting involved in that was the possibility of saving the Jews in Iran, who were, of course, living under terrible, terrible conditions. Now, the fact is that that's the only possible reason. Any other reason is, I think, a terrible, terrible mistake. I don't know what anybody can do about, finding out what actually happened. I think that the truth is going to come out of Washington. And I think that anything that Israel knows, Washington knows.
Is the Pollard case also?
Now, that's one thing. That's Iran. Now, as far as the case with Pollard, let me say this to you. What Pollard did, Pollard broke the law here. Pollard broke the law. And that's a fact. It's a fact. But I think when you consider the fact that a Marine... who helped the KGB get secrets and who, in effect, therefore helped an enemy of this country.
May I comment?
Excuse me. I haven't even finished yet. It's great. I tell you, it's like being back in the Knesset. Got 30 years. And Jonathan Pollard, who did not ever want to hurt America, he wanted to help Israel by giving them things which America really should have given Israel.
Now look,
either you're going to talk or I'm going to talk. When you spoke, I was quiet because I'm basically a very, 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 very moderate guy. But when I speak, you be quiet or else I'm not going to speak. So I'm going to now finish and answer your question. Pollard didn't want to hurt America. Pollard wanted to help Israel. He broke the law. Yes, he punished for that. But a life sentence... Man, that's outrageous. That's an outrageous thing. He has to be punished, given a sentence, but I think that you have to realize that Pollard's motives never were to hurt America, never were to give anything to an enemy country. He gave information to a friendly country. He was wrong, but a life sentence is outrageous. And finally, everybody spies on everybody else, including America, on Israel. And
the Rabbi Meir Kahana.
Hello, Rabbi Kahana, are you
yes,
there?
Yes, I am.
First of all, I'd like to start out by giving you a compliment as being the only Israeli leader that is truthful about the obvious conflict between democracy and a Jewish state. And let me say very frankly that I support wholeheartedly your view.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you a question, and that is, when you are elected prime minister, God willing, very soon, how quickly would you establish Torah law as the law of the country and abolish democracy, which is basically the root of the conflict between democracy and the Jewish state, and finally establish the Jewish high court system?
Well, I want to be frank with you. Look,
are you going to be a dictator when you're prime minister?
No.
Ooh, abolish?
I think there is no question that in terms of Judaism or any faith which believes that it has got God's law, certainly that democracy is not a proper thing. I mean, you don't vote every 4 years on whether to obey God. But, and here's a big, big, big but. Well, I certainly am not ready to allow the Arabs the same rights that Jews have. Otherwise, it's all over for us.
Right.
If I were to go and try to abolish democracy in terms of Jews, you would have a bloody civil war inside Israel. What has to be done is a tremendous job of changing the school system. You have to educate young people there. We are suffering today in Israel from 40 years of an incredible de-Judaizing of the Jewish people. It's the ungreening of the Jewish people. You can't have a civil war. It would be the worst possible tragedy. We would move slowly. We would certainly move first for bills which would make the public sector Jewish. In short, restaurants would not sell food which is not kosher. But if someone eats in his home, well, we're not going to send the cops into the homes. You have to realize that we are a sick people, and a sick people has to get well first before it can choose on its own a healthy road. So it's a long, difficult road, and our main goal is to keep our eyes on the goal and move steadily towards it, but also with a lot of Jewish brains. Don't be crazy about it. Move carefully and move slowly, because the worst thing would be a civil war.
Okay, let's get our next caller, and the lines are clogged. We want to get everyone on.
Robert Bale.
Hello, David. Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Rabbi Meir Kahana?
Yes.
I would like to ask you one question.
Okay, ask me one question, and I'll give you one answer. Go on.
The question for the whole world.
The whole world, yes.
Okay. Put out the map on the table. I'm not educated. I'm not nothing. Put out the map on the table, and you see what the Arab states have. They have Jordan, they have Iraq. They have
everything, okay.
Syria. And Israel is only one small state.
Yeah.
It's maybe 100... The Arab state is 100 times bigger than the whole Israel state.
Right.
What do they want from the Israelis? The whole Israel looks to me big as Manhattan, not bigger than Manhattan.
Well...
Why do they... I wanted only that piece, little state from Israel to take away from the Jews?
I mean, look, I think that you should know that what the rabbis say in the Talmud, that if one has $100, he wants $200.
Yep.
It isn't a question of being fair. They want more. In Islam, any land which was once under Islam has to always be under Islam. It's a religious question too.
So that you want to say that once America will also be under Islam?
They would certainly want that. There is no question about that.
So,
absolutely so.
Rabbi.
Rabbi Kahana.
How are you?
Good. 4 years ago, you organized a group, Jews Against Jackson, in this country.
That's right.
Many. Would you recommend that Jewish people organize similar groups again this time?
Absolutely so.
Jackson, or your opinions change? I guess not.
Oh, no. I think that Jackson is just bad. I mean, he's just a very, very, very bad guy. He's not good for Jews. He's not good for America. I think he's just a very, very dangerous person who is aiming not at the presidency, but at getting a real, real sizable block of votes and then becoming some kind of a power broker. And going for a big, big job, a cabinet post.
What's wrong with that?
Vice president.
What's wrong with that?
Because Jackson's a bad guy. Jackson is a racist. Jackson is an anti-Semite. Jackson is just a bad person.
What about his good buddy, Louis Farrakhan?
He's even better. He's even better. Now, I mean, that is a real, real couple. That is a real odd couple.
Back to Line 6 and Avi. Welcome to WMCA and say hello to Rabbi Meir Kahana.
Hello, Rabbi Kahana.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you two questions.
Sure.
I'm an Orthodox Jew here from New York.
Pardon?
I'm an Orthodox Jew from New York.
Yes.
And I agree with most of your policies. However, your policy of trying to throw out all the Jews from all the Arabs, make that from Israel. Is there a possible way to sit down the Arabs, I mean, not sit them down, but try to take, agree the Arabs should stay in the state, however, take away their vote,
yes,
make capital punishment for errors that they commit. Errors, it's on purpose.
Yes, we have, yeah.
Isn't that possible?
Yes, it is, it is. And that's the offer that, you know, I'm going to make, and I write that in my book. Mm-hmm. That,
just let me add, because the threat of the Arabs sounds absurd.
Well, it's not absurd. In fact, it's insanity not to. But in any case, we're going to make them that offer, that if the Arabs are willing to live peacefully, not with no national rights, but with their personal rights, and their social rights and economic rights, cultural rights, and so on, then they can stay. But they have no national rights. They don't vote. They don't sit in the Knesset. They have nothing to say about the country. Now, if they're ready to accept that, fine. But now let's talk about being absurd. It's absurd to even think that the average Arab, certainly the average young Arab, is going to say yes to that. He's not going to accept that. And therefore, while we make that offer, and it's an honest offer, we have to bear in mind that most are going to say no, and we're going to come right back up against the same problem.
I see. And also, who would you say for the Orthodox community to vote for in the next presidential election in America?
First of all, I don't know who's going to be running.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to line one. Barbara, and welcome.
Hi there, Gary. Good evening.
Yes.
Rabbi Kahana, shalom.
Shalom, how are you?
Thank you. I have two very brief comments and one quick short, please. First of all, it always fascinates me, and I'm hearing this since forever, that when any foreign native is mentioned that the United States gives, the only country that anyone can think of is Israel. Am I right, Rabbi?
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, the $65 billion that we're going to bail out Mexico, the $2.5 billion to Egypt, et cetera, et cetera, number one. Number two, when it came to Pollard, of course, what he did was wrong, and I'm sorry he did it. But everybody forgot about the Walker spy case. Gary, do you remember the Walker spy case?
Oh, yes.
And Mr. Chin,
exactly right.
Who killed himself? The only country that anyone can remember is Israel. And at the risk of sounding like a foolish person, I frankly believe that if Israel were inhabited by little pink men, nobody would give a damn. It's just because they're Jews. And this is my brief question.
Is that the question?
That's part of the question.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yes, I do. I think that Israel, rather than putting an end to anti-Semitism, has given an awful lot of people an opportunity to be anti-Semites under the cloak of I'm not anti-Jewish. I'm just anti-Zionist.
Well, that's what they say. Gary, can I ask you one rule? Gary, have you ever seen a map of the Middle East?
Yes.
You can't even find Israel. It's so minuscule. It's got 4 million people. The Arabs, the hostile Arabs, have millions and millions. Can't they leave this little country? And in conclusion,
yeah.
I'd like
yes,
to...
Yes, but look. You know, I think that rather than, you know, Jews sitting here weeping and wailing, stop weeping and stop wailing. Have a... tough Jewish army and faith in God, and who cares what the Arabs say? No one is going to change the Arabs' mind, just like no one is going to change my mind. So let's have pride and you know, positive strength rather than, you know, sitting and saying, why do the Arabs want to do this and why do the Arabs want to do it? I can give you several reasons why they want to. It's not relevant. The main thing is that we should have faith in God and a tough Jewish army, and that's going to guarantee Israel.
Okay, line three, and John, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi, Rabbi.
Yes.
Yeah, we spent some time together at the Federal House of Detention.
How about that? When? I spent several times there.
In the early 70s.
In the early 70s, okay, yeah.
In the early 70s, and I must commend the Rabbi. He fought not only for kosher food, but he fought for Muslim food, and he fought for decent treatment. I happen to be a Catholic. And here is a man who is for everybody's human rights. As far as his position on Israel goes, it's the only way to go.
Well, thank you very, very, very much. And, you know, looking back...
Together in 2D.
How about that? How about that? Well, listen...
When you were under persecution by our own government...
Well, it's okay. I mean, I survived, and you did, and God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to line five and Sam. Sam, thank you for waiting. You're on the air. Okay. Are you there, Sam?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Rabbi Marikana, you do a wonderful job, and God should bless you.
Thank you very, very, very much. I certainly hope so, but only if I, you know, keep on doing the right thing.
You're doing the right thing.
Thank you.
It's the right way and the right thing.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for waiting. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes, this is Ben.
Yes.
Honey,
yes.
I, like you, I feel, am dominated by an overriding and fundamental sense of pessimism as far as the future of the Jews is concerned. And to paraphrase Shakespeare, I feel we are a people more sinned against than sinning. But my point is this. In light of this pessimism, which I think you share with me, what is the... And incidentally, my point is that I feel the only possibility of a glorious future for the Jewish people, a resurrection of the Jewish nation spiritually and nationally, is if all Jews, or the majority of Jews throughout the world, emigrate to Israel. My question is this. What would be... And I know you agree with me on this, or I think you do. What is the best way to galvanize and mobilize mass emigration and Aliyah Exodus style of Jews in America and throughout the world to Israel? What would be the best way of galvanizing and mobilizing?
If you want a real honest answer, and I say this with great, great pessimism,
mm-hmm.
The only time that Jews have ever emigrated from any country in which things have been good for them,
yes,
and gone to Israel, has been when things became bad for them.
I understand that, and like I said, I don't think...
There is no way...
Would Mayor Koch emigrate to Israel?
If Mayor Koch ever came to Israel, I would make Mayor Koch's life miserable. I mean, can you imagine Mayor Koch calling me scum? Can you imagine that? Now, he isn't a happy guy. A little bit gay, but not too happy. Hey, Koch, are you kidding? In any case, back to this thing here. Look, I only wish to God that there was some way to convince Jews to come and move there.
Well, is Israel large enough for all the world's Jews?
Absolutely so. No question about it.
Now, are you going to give the land back to the Arabs that you got in that Six-Day War?
You don't give the land back to
anybody.
West Bank. Wait.
Okay.
One gives land back to someone who owned it once. They never owned it. It was our land, so I'm not giving up land to anybody.
But you captured it. You took it away from those poor Arabs.
We liberated it from Arabs who had entered that country.
You stole it.
They were gone.
You stole it.
Oh, come on.
You're not going to give it back?
Yeah. We're not going to give back a single centimeter back. We're not going to give it up. If the Arabs would not have gone to war in 1967,
mm-hmm.
They'd be sitting there today. But they went to war. They started a war with us, and they lost. And when you lose, you lose. You lose. That's the way it is.
Well, Joe, thank you for waiting. You're on the WMCA.
Yes, hello. Rabbi Kanai?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm Joe from, do you remember Harvey Terrace Times? The original...
Yes, indeed. Wow.
I want to say that, to keep up the good work and... I'm just wondering, in your party, do you have, people with you to help you out in what you're doing.
Oh, certainly so. Inside Israel, it's a large movement. It's a large movement with many, many offices in different cities. We have excellent people. It's a political movement in Israel. It isn't some tiny thing. If you're here, and I'd like to see you there, but if you're here, why don't you get involved with us here? You know, anyone out there, get involved with the Kach movement. Just phone 718-646-1552. 718-646-1552.
George, thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi, Rabbi.
Hi.
I have a question to ask you. What's your opinion about the Vanunu case? I mean, the terror used against him. Don't you think that simply increases...
The terror against him? Here's a guy. Here's someone. A traitor. He spills state secrets. What do you mean the terror against him? He's a put on trial.
Beatings in prison and stuff like that, don't you...
The what?
Beatings in prison.
Beatings in prison?
Don't you think that...
Where did you hear that he was beaten in prison?
In the newspapers.
In which newspapers? The local Arab press?
It's Channel 7.
And where?
Eyewitness News, World News with Peter Jennings.
Eyewitness News. Channel 7.
Whose side are you on?
Let me just tell you something, fella. On the day that you want to find out truth, tune out Channel 7.
Mm-hmm. And something else, don't you think that these practices simply increase the anti-Jewish feeling in Europe? I'm European, and I'm reading English newspapers, and all these newspapers have all this stuff there.
You mean that this feeds anti-Semitism?
Excuse me?
It's amazing how, until Israel came into being, there was no anti-Semitism. What a lovely thing. Let me just say one thing to you. Anti-Semites don't need any excuse to hate Jews. Anti-blacks don't need any excuse to hate blacks. Bigots hate, period.
I agree with that.
So I couldn't care less whether people hate me or love me. I'm sick and tired of Jews running around wanting love. I don't want anybody's love.
What's your opinion about the Vanunu case?
He's a traitor. He should be put on trial and punished properly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
On line 5, Russell, thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Hello. I want to find out a question. I want to know what is so right about capitalism and what is so wrong about communism.
What is so wrong about communism?
Yes, and what is so right about capitalism?
First of all, why don't you visit Russia for a year and come back, and you'll have all your answers about communism. Capitalism is not a wonderful thing, but it's the best system that we have devised to allow countries to get ahead. Now, I've lived under all kinds of systems. Capitalism, of course, has to be modified with heart and with goodness and with justice and mercy, of course. But if you want people to advance, you have to give them an incentive, a reason to want to advance. Now, I've spoken with thousands of Jews from Russia. And they tell me that inside Russia, there is no reason for people to work hard. There is corruption because people could not care less whether the job is done properly, it isn't done properly, it's the same salary. So capitalism gives you an incentive.
But what about Zionism?
Well, Zionism and capitalism are two different creatures, and one is a table and one is a...
Well, you're a Zionist.
Yeah, a Zionist is merely a Jew who wants to go back to Zion. That's the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
and Zion is Israel.
Right, Zion is Israel. Right.
Okay. Now, is Zionism, which calls for a Jewish majority, not in total conflict with Western democracy and capitalism?
Well, not capitalism, well, but the Western democracy, of course.
Majority rule.
There is a fundamental contradiction between a state which came into being as the Jewish state, which Israel did,
right,
and which insists that the Jews must run that country because otherwise we'll go back to 1900 years of pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And Western democracy, which says it doesn't matter Jew or non-Jew, whoever's a majority, it is majority. There's a fundamental difference, a contradiction, and when I say that, every Jewish liberal climbs the walls. Not because I'm wrong, but because I'm right.
Oh, very good. Let's go to line six and Morris. Morris, thank you for waiting. Oh. Say hello to Rabbi Meir Kahana.
Hello, Rabbi.
How are you?
Rabbi, I'd like to know, how do you reconcile your religious orthodoxy
yes.
with the religious orthodoxy of groups like Netzarai Karta, who turn out literature that reads as if it's written for Disturmer?
You're right. You're right. I think it's a tragedy. I think it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. I think that somewhere they lost their way. However, certainly, aside from that aspect of Israel, I mean, they, of course, follow the same tenets I do. Now, if I say, except for that, of course, that's a major basic tenet. To me, what they do is not only a tragedy, but if they think that there's one Arab who will listen to them when they say, I'm a Jew and not a Zionist, and will treat them differently, then they don't know the Arabs. In the Arab's mind, the Jews are all Jews, just as in Hitler's mind, a Jew was a Jew, whether he was a Hasid or atheist.
Okay. Meir Kahana, our guest, and the lines are certainly all lit. Larry, thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? I got a couple of things that may be of interest to you, maybe not either. So, first of all, it occurs to my dopey mind that they wonder about whether the Jews belong to Israel or Israel belongs to the Jews or not. There was a city of Judea, from what I understand, and out of that city came the Jews, and they were called Jews because they came out of the city of Judea, which is supposed to be in Israel. Is that right or not?
Well, that's kind of right, and it's kind of wrong.
Well, yeah, why is it wrong?
Because the whole country was actually called that.
Uh-huh.
You see?
I see.
Okay.
Well, that's
it's even better, right.
Yeah, it makes it even better.
Right.
Another thing I wanted to say, this is maybe a little too gratuitous.
Do you believe, sir, in circumcision of infants?
Well, of course, of infants, it's preferable.
Abraham,
8 days.
Well, how do you think Abraham felt at 99 years old when God commanded him to? I think that's
like a
brutal.
Good Jew. A good Jew.
You know, can we talk, Rabbi?
Of course we can talk. That's why I'm on the show.
Larry, you just listen.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, you know, in the Bible, when you get married, you're supposed to marry a virgin. I know Jews that marry women that aren't virgins, and I know Jews that don't hold up the wedding sheet.
Wait a minute.
You keep the barbarian.
Mr. D,
thing
one of the things that I like about
thing.
People is
yeah.
people who know what they're what they're talking about, and you don't. And you don't.
How dare you say that, Rabbi?
I just said it. If I said it to, Shimon Peres, then I can say it to Gary D. The fact of the matter is that obviously all Jewish women should be virgins, but you don't have to marry a virgin. You don't have to marry a virgin, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the law.
Okay.
So
I mean, there's so many things in the Bible that you people and all religions ignore, and certain stupid things.
Not a single thing. Not a thing. And if we had time, we would get into. I would, put on my rabbi's hat, and we would then get into.
Let me ask you one question. Now, what do you think? Now, the Bible, the Bible says that the Messiah will lead the Jews back to Israel. That the Messiah will. Now, aren't you, as a Zionist, actually violating the word of the Bible by pretending to be the Messiah?
Well, obviously, I'm not the Messiah. And certainly, the state of Israel is not the final, it's not the end. It's the beginning of that era, a Messianic era. And every Jew hopes that he will come and not only bring us back to Israel, but also bring us peace. Because having a state with no peace and constant tragedies is not the Messianic era. Far, far, far from it. It's the beginning of the era, but it's not the end. So all of us hope that he'll come.
Now, are the Jews God's chosen people?
Absolutely.
Now, what are the rest of us?
You're God's people.
But we weren't chosen.
No, but any.
Why did God choose Jews?
Because Abraham decided at the age of 99 to go through that incredible thing. You see that?
Really?
I mean, you wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't.
That's right.
No way. I think it's barbaric.
So he was chosen among
and don't
among
get
other reasons.
Healthy business. You know,
not at all. Nothing to do with health. Nothing to do with health. Nothing at all to do with health. I mean, that's what
baloney. Agree with
that. Okay. Absolutely not. It is a great discipline, just as with kosher food. Kosher food is
well,
nice.
Well, why don't we just
nice.
Cut off our little toe? It has no use either.
Well, first of all,
you know,
I can't imagine.
Circumcised women are be like.
We don't do that, no. We don't do that.
You know, it's as barbaric as, you know, the movie Roots.
Because the sexual organ, because that is the representative of the seed which will come forth from this person.
Okay. And I guess, well, it's a Jewish tradition. That's well,
it's divine law.
It's divine law. Okay. And you guys are the chosen ones.
Yeah, but
I don't
any non-Jew who wants to be chosen, come on and join us.
I don't think God knows what the heck he's talking about.
Gary,
really,
I mean,
I don't think a God chooses.
We have to sit down. We have to sit down one day, you know, just you, I, and God, and talk it over.
I will never be circumcised at my age. No, sir, wait.
Okay.
Now let's get back to serious things and our callers. Gladys, thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Rabbi, if you're such a wonderful person, how come you don't stay here in America and drive back all the Jews to Israel?
Drive them back? The Messiah will come three times before anybody will ever convince the Jews in America who are supping from these flesh pots to come back. I'm in Israel because if I tell someone do something, I have to first do it. An example. How can I be here and say to you, go to Israel? You're going to then turn to me and say, speak for yourself, Mayor.
Okay.
So I did. I went there as an example.
Okay, let's go to line 6 and Joe. Thank you for waiting.
Yeah, Mayor Khan, I just would want to ask you this.
Yes.
Israel could produce a film. They try to suppress it here in America based on the book, The Passover Plot, which asserts and presents detailed evidence from the Bible and from the Dead Sea Scrolls to prove that Jesus planned his own arrest, crucifixion, and resurrection, that he arranged to be drugged on the cross, simulating death, so that he could later be safely removed and thus bear out the messianic prophecies.
Okay, one, I want to tell you something straight out. I think that book is insanity. It's a vicious, dumb, stupid book which proves nothing. I think that if someone would have written a book like that about Moses, Jews would have been screaming anti-Semitism. I think that it's a sick book, and thank God that there is no movie about it.
Well, did you read the book?
Yes, I certainly did, and it is a sickness. It is a sickness. Look, you can prove anything you want. You can prove anything you want. I think that any Jew, such as the author, should spend more time worrying about Judaism than about Jesus.
Gary D. Hello there.
Hello, Gary. We've spoken before. I've been a guest on your show for a while. This is Shifra Hoffman.
Shifra, how are you?
Thank God. I want to say that I, too, went to Israel with pride and dignity, and I'm happy and proud that Rabbi Meir Kahane, whom I've known and worked with for 17 years, is on his way to the prime ministership. God willing, he will come to power because there is a higher power than what people perceive. But I want to talk about the Jewish community here and how they try to suppress him. You know, in Israel, much to their chagrin, everybody, the Amcha, the people who vote and want to vote for Rabbi Kahane. They try to minimize it here because they feel that by saying he has just a little bit of support, they can control what is happening in Israel. If they weren't so myopic and dwarf-like, as he said many times, they would understand that there will be a Jewish state. And if they don't go with Kahane, there won't be any state, God forbid. So, two things. First, I think, Gary, even as a Christian, I think you're a Christian, I'm not sure, but as a Jew or a Christian, you could learn a lot from him theologically. But to have him on your program, I'm certain that a lot of people out there have their first exposure to the real man, and I can tell you he's a real man and a real Jew.
Oh, excellent.
Thank you, Shimon.
I'm impressed. Shefra.
And everyone can hear him on my program whenever he has the chance.
Great, Shefra. Great, Shefra. Thank you. And I'm learning. And as students, and Matthew said we all should learn. Someone said that. I don't know. Hello, WMCA, Gary D. Thank you for waiting.
I think it was Davy Johnson.
I see. Hi, WMCA. Thank you for waiting, Kenneth. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, Rabbi Kahana.
Yes.
My name is Kenneth.
Yes, Kenneth.
I'm a Catholic.
Yes, sir.
Just like to say that although I am a practicing...
How do you feel about having killed so many people as a Catholic?
Well, I myself haven't killed anyone, and I really hope you're not going to try to...
I mean, you just brought up this deal. I want to bring up the rack. And we want to get a rack on the Gary D. program. And I want to put heretics and witches and people like that on a rack and just stretch them. You think circumcision is bad? Wait till a Catholic gets you on the rack.
I don't know about that, but...
Thank you. Well, I do. WMCA, Gary D., bunch of idiots.
Hi.
On WMCA, it's 9 now before the hour of 6 o'clock. And our guest, Rabbi Meir Kahana. And thank you for waiting. You're on the air. Hello there.
A fascinating program.
Yes, it is. Are you learning, Celia? Well, so am I.
Rabbi, I have a question for you.
Yes, please.
I was listening to Christian radio the other night.
Praise the Lord. Thank God.
Yes, and I heard a minister come right out and say that if the Jews don't convert, their souls are going to hell.
Yeah.
I want to know, do you believe that, and does the Jews say anything like that? I never heard Jews say that, and I want to know why the Christian religion has caused so much trouble during the centuries, because a lot of people aren't Christian.
You know, and I agree, and I think the Reverend Jimmy Swaggart, the double first cousin of my hero, Jerry Lee Lewis, the killer, said that, and said, unless you Jews, now get this, Rabbi, are baptized or converted, I mean, it's all over. You're going to hell with your Arab cousins.
Yeah, but you see,
Jimmy Swaggart does not bother me. Said that,
and, you know, ma'am,
it doesn't bother you?
Not at all, because if we have to go there, we'll turn into a Palm Beach. The fact of the matter is, who cares what this guy says? I mean, why do Jews get so bothered and worried about what other people say? It's not what people say; it's what we do, which will affect us. First of all, not all Christians say that. Far, far from it. And don't label all Christians with that same brush. There are decent ones there, and there are Swaggarts.
Right.
So, and
I'll stand corrected. I don't think it was Jimmy Swaggart.
It was whoever it was.
And Swaggart's got a thing on the Catholics.
But Swaggart isn't a person. He's a concept.
Really?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
One other question.
A concept. Okay.
Rabbi, one other question.
Yeah.
Do Jews accept converts? I never hear anything about that.
Yes,
do you
but...
Do born a Jew to become a Jew?
Yes, but Jews don't seek out converts.
Well, what about this black guy on the telethon last night?
What black guy on the telethon?
Sammy Davis Jr. Was he a convert?
But he wasn't a convert properly.
Has he been circumcised?
I doubt it. But
chicken,
that's not the,
chicken.
Well, what do you do? But that's not the point. The point is any non-Jew who wants to become Jew, any non-Jew, anybody, white, black, or polka dot, who wants to become Jewish the proper way, goes to an Orthodox rabbi, goes through the proper form, can become Jewish. But Jews don't seek out converts. If you're a good Christian, you'll go to heaven too.
Hey, you don't, now, being a Southern Baptist, I was born a Southern Baptist.
Well,
and I used to give,
I guess,
let me finish.
I guess not everybody can be chosen.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I was chosen a Southern Baptist.
Yeah.
And I gave a dime every Sunday to send, who were they? The Thompsons. And they were married, and they were missionaries.
Missionaries.
Right. Bill,
lots of luck.
Bill and Camille Thompson, missionary.
Uh-huh.
And we donated money to send them to darkest Africa to convert those heathens in Africa to be Baptists.
Yeah.
And teach them the missionary position.
Wow. What is missionary position?
Well, that's God's position. That's the way God has sex with Mrs. God, I guess. I don't know. I never asked in those days. But, see, we tried to convert heathens to become Baptists. Don't Jews try to convert heathens to become Jews?
No.
Why not? You're missing out.
We have so many lousy Jews that I want to try and make good, decent Jews. We don't have time for the heathens.
I see.
Can you imagine, Mayor?
You're cleaning up your own house.
Look at this Mayor Koch.
Our great mayor.
The gay mayor. Now, here's a guy. That
our gay mayor.
I said he's not happy, but he's gay.
Okay.
Now, here is Mayor Koch running around and eating non-kosher food. And you want me to go and convert you, the heathen? No, you eat. Yeah.
Really?
Our essential problem is that if anyone wants to become Jewish, but really, really...
Well, maybe kosher food is not healthy.
Kosher food is so healthy that we have lived on it for 4,000 years.
Really?
Of course, and that proves it.
And if he believes the chocolate is chocolate cake kosher,
it depends. It depends on the on the cake.
I see. Okay, let's go to line four and Edith. Just sit back and relax. We don't know what's going to happen here, but this is refreshing. And I want you heathens as well as Christians and atheists to call in because I want equal time for everybody. I don't want anyone to say tomorrow that we didn't give you equal time. All you Arabs call in, too. Hello, Edith. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Gary G., you are a breath of fresh air today.
Well, we're trying, but of course, the Rabbi Meir Kahana is the breath of fresh air.
That's true.
This guy says it like it is.
That's true.
And he wants to shape up all the Jews and make them Orthodox. All Jews have to be Orthodox.
Pardon?
Well, that's exactly what, God wants. Okay. Otherwise, why be chosen?
Right.
I mean, Jews are not different in terms of race or blood or no brains.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says that Jewish head. What Jewish head? I know Jewish, fools, too. The only thing that makes us different and makes us chosen is God's law. That's the only thing.
Right.
Nothing.
But I've heard about Jewish women.
You have heard about Jewish women?
There's an old joke.
Have you lived in this city now for how long? And you've only heard about them?
Oh, right. And I've been here 6 months.
Incredible. God. I mean, WMCA is...
really?
What are you guys here, biased?
Okay. Go ahead, Edith.
I want to ask Rabbi Kahana what he thinks of the Pope going to visit wartime, going to Miami, and why... What he thinks of the rabbis going to speak to the Pope?
First of all, obviously, I think that the Pope meeting with Waldheim and Arafat, I mean, it was a horror, it was obscene. But having said that, who cares? These rabbis that go running around and debasing themselves, and forget about them. The Pope came here to meet with Catholics, so fine, so let him meet Catholics. What are these rabbis doing?
I think you guys should go out and missionary and bring people.
Not at all. No. Not at all. Let the Pope do his thing. And these rabbis are running around hoping that on Friday or on Saturday they're going to be on page one of the Times with the Pope. These are tiny, tiny dwarfs hoping to bask in his aura. I don't want them to meet with him. Don't attack him. Don't bless him. Don't praise him. Just stay and help the Jewish people.
Okay. Is that clear, class? Thank you for waiting, Gershow. You're on the air.
Hello, Maya.
How are you?
Fine. I have a question to ask you. How will Israel survive without removing the fifth column of Arabs?
Arabs.
You have proposed their removal.
I mean, they're heathens, but they're Arabs.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Paying them their true value of properties. Actually, what have they ever given a Jew other than rape, plunder, and cremation to get rid of a Jew? And I think you're being very generous.
I'm being generous? That's because I'm basically moderate.
They will never survive because actually the victory that the Arabs have lost.
Arabs!
They will gain.
Listen, sir, you don't continue until you have a little respect for your enemies.
No, he's a Litvak.
A what?
Never mind.
Okay.
I mean, you're a Southern Baptist.
What do I know?
It's not going to help.
Sir, say Arab. Say Arab or get off my show. We will not have any anti-Arabics.
Right.
Okay. He's off. He's gone. It's Arab, not Arab. The only time you can say Arab is Ahab, the Arab. That's the name of a song. Hello, Larry.
Shalom, Rabbi. This is Larry from Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. How are you, Larry?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, we read an article here in the Times about a year ago that according to an Arab newspaper in Jerusalem, from 88% of the Arabs in Israel support placing bombs on Jewish buses.
That's right.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
Israeli Jewish public.
Yes, I am. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, look. Let's just face it. What if there had been no such poll? So what? I mean, obviously the Arabs believe that the Jews are thieves, that they've taken this land from them, and they use bombs. I mean, what is the shocking poll here? They must go, or else we're going to go. That's the tragic choice.
Well, they are Arabs. WMCA, Gary D., New York. Little Tuesday with us here on WMCA, Rabbi Meir Kahana. And let's get down to basics. You certainly are a refreshing individual. You have the convictions of your belief. And let's talk about really something that the posh don't talk about on Long Island. But you're a product of the streets, the working class, the inner city. You're not of the suburbs. You're a man of reality. You know how things really are. And let's talk about anti-Semitism. Is there more anti-Semitism today than before? Or has the problem been solved? Have we really come together?
No. I think that it's a raging thing. I think it's right underneath the surface. I think that the Jewish leaders are the blind leading the Jewish blind. I think that when they get up and say that there is no anti-Semitism or very, 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 very little of it, I think it's a lie. It's a delusion. I've always said that rather than going to banquets of the National Conference of Christians and Jews, that every single Jewish leader should be compelled to go for a week into a neighborhood bar and just listen. You know, talk about Israel and just listen. I think that if, God forbid, there should be a real economic crash in this country, you're going to see an outpouring of hate. And that's why I'm so anxious to have Jews live in Israel.
You know, a call several months back, and I cut it and didn't even comment on it, but about the administration, political administration here in New York and how corrupt it was, and someone said, well, they're all Jews, right? And
comment
on that.
Well, of course, in the days of those famous Jews like Boss Tweed and Mayor Daley and Frank Hake, you know, of course there were Jews. Look, anti-Semites or anti-blacks or anti-anything are not rational. Mm-hmm. You don't need anything rational. They just seize upon anything. I think that it's just a great, great mistake to think that because people's bellies are now filled and they have jobs and they can watch the Super Bowl. That's the basic reason why anti-Semitism is not openly raging. But if they foreclose on your TV set and on your beer and on your Super Bowl, you're going to see real, real hate here.
Really?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. But don't Jews bring it on themselves? I mean, you sat here earlier and said you were chosen by God. Now, that's arrogant.
Well, I didn't say that. The same Bible that the Christian church believes in says it. I didn't make it up. It's in the Bible. Now, you can burn your local Bible, fine, but don't burn Kahana.
All right. Well, John the Baptist is my hero, and of course, he got his head cut off.
That's right. I mean, I was going to say, which is even worse than circumcision.
Really? Come to think of it, I got myself in that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Jews, you know, because... Well, let's go back. And I watched on Channel 13, they had a wonderful series on the history of the Jew. And first of all, a Jew, as I learned from Abba Eban, is not a race. It's a people.
It's a religio nation. It's a people which also is a faith.
All right.
In other words, one doesn't become a Jew by taking out some kind of a citizenship paper in Israel. You become a Jew through Judaism. It's a religion and also a people. It is not a race. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We just brought over.
Why is it a race?
Ethiopia, 40,000 Jews.
You guys slept with everybody.
Well, I'll tell you something.
Let's call, you know, see
if that's true, and we're 4,000 years old, how come there are only 13 million of us?
Oh.
What does that say about the Christians?
Well, why are there white Jews and black Jews?
Because there were a lot of converts.
And I had a bunch of Yahoos. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
These black guys, and they speak on the corner of 44th and Broadway downtown with speakers, and they say all sorts of stuff. But they are black Jews, and I had them on one Saturday.
Well, they may say that they're black Jews. There are many, many black Jews, but not every single black that says he's
And they
Jew
say the white man is the devil, and the white
then
Jew.
He's not a Jew.
He isn't a Jew.
Mm-hmm. He's a black Muslim, perhaps.
Well, really, you know, to be a Jew, you've got to be born a Jew.
No, you can. Jews will take converts, and many, many converts have become Jews. Mm-hmm. David came from Ruth. She was a convert.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I converted to become a Jew,
but really, Gary, it isn't a game now.
I know it's not a game, and I'm serious.
It isn't a WMCA decision.
Yeah, that's serious. That's heavy duty.
Yeah, it sure is.
Now, then I would have to marry a Jewish wife.
Yes,
and then go. I mean, what you want is all Jews to intermarry. Don't marry Gentiles.
Right. I want all Catholics to marry, Catholics, I think.
Okay.
That, you know.
Right.
Because it isn't a racial concept. It's an idea. And if you believe that your idea is the proper one, you want your children to, of course, carry that.
Right.
So that's why Jews should marry Jews and have Jewish children.
You know, and it's funny, Catholic, Baptist, or Jew, we carry so little about our religion until we get a divorce, and then we make damn sure our children are raised in the synagogue or in the Catholic Church or in the Baptist Church.
Well, not Orthodox Jews. Yeah. I mean, they care about it right from the very, very start.
Do you guys get divorced?
Of course. I mean, you can get divorced.
You're not perfect then. I mean, and your choices.
Sometimes a divorce is preferable to a real bad marriage.
Really?
Sure.
Sure it is. My ex ran off with a Jew.
No kidding. Well, she's got taste.
Oh, it's my program. It's so. Hello, Andrew. Go right ahead.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Is the rabbi there?
Yes. Yeah, kind of.
Hello, Rabbi.
Yeah. I just ducked the punch. Yeah. I'm here.
Yes, I just want to say one thing before I ask your question.
Yes, sir.
We met near the Damascus Gate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the young man. This is about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I've shown you a rock from the
of
Masada.
Yes, right.
Same shape as Masada.
Mm-hmm. You guys are out in the middle of the desert, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rabbi, I saw something on the television over the weekend that I found to be very disturbing, and I was wondering what your reaction would be on this.
What's that?
I saw the Hasidic community in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting with the police.
Maybe it was the other way around.
Well, true.
Mm-hmm.
And I was disturbed to see brother fighting brother.
Yes, indeed.
And where is Israel going? I mean, are we headed for some kind of revolution of some kind?
Well, if I have anything at all to say about it, no. But I think you're very, very right. I think that Israel is split badly, terribly. I think that struggle that you saw involved the whole question of what kind of a country will Israel be. Is it going to be a Jewish state, or is it going to be some kind of a carbon copy of Sweden or Canada?
What do you mean by Jewish state?
I mean a Jewish state in which the young Jew knows that he's a Jew. Now, what does that mean, I'm a Jew? I mean, go ask somebody out on Long Island who says, I'm a Jew. And you ask them, well, what's a Jew? You don't observe the Sabbath. You eat pork. What's Jewish about you? He doesn't know what... He's an emotional Jew. He's a gut Jew. But that's... You don't build upon emotion. You have to build upon, logic and being rational. Why should he not marry a good-looking Christian girl? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he doesn't know that being Jewish is special, and Jewish is not special in terms of race or skin or blood and all this nonsense, it's only special in terms of Judaism. Now, I want Judaism to be the law of Israel. Otherwise, you're going to lose Israel. Otherwise, why should some Some Jewish youngster at 18 served for 3 years in the army, as all of them do. And every year after that, every year till 55, 40 days in the army on reserve duty, wars, taxes, why should he stay there? Why not move to Beverly Hills or to Forest Hills, Queens? Well, the answer is there is no reason for him not to move, except if he feels that there is something very, very special about that, about being a Jew, and that's only special through Judaism.
No,
and that's what the struggle is about.
The wealthy Jews in America, they're not going to give up what they have here in this country.
Nobody's going to give up. The fact of the matter is that last year...
I mean, Bess Meyerson...
That's
Are they going to give it up and go to Israel?
Of course not. Of course not. And that's the tragedy. That's the tragedy. The tragedy is that someday, just as with the German Jews, who also were wealthy and happy and satisfied and comfortable, and then one day...
Really?
And then one day somebody said, hey, guess what you are? Exactly right. And they thought that they were Germans. And then someone said, hey, guess what you are? You're a Jew.
Whoa. That's tough.
Yes, it is.
Let's go to line two. Celia, I'm going to get everybody on. This is good.
Yeah,
21.
I've been waiting for 1 hour.
Bless your heart.
And it's about time I get on.
Okay, yes, indeed. Okay. I mean, you're on.
Oh, Barracuda, go ahead.
Excuse me?
Yeah, nothing, darling. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I think it is about time that Israel, the Jewish people belong to Israel, and Israel should have them. And I mean, after all, what is it all fuss about?
I think that you're right. I think that
I am right.
Yes.
You waited an hour to say that, Celia?
I waited 1 hour.
Celia, you are right. And in the Knesset, when I get back next week, I'm going to get up and in my speech, I'm going to say that I was on the Gary D. Show and Celia was right.
Jewish people belong to Israel.
Absolutely.
And nobody else.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
I am not Jewish. I'm a Christian.
Yes.
You sound like a Nazi.
Oh, come on, Gary. That is a nice.
Oh, that is.
Let me show you.
Okay.
I waited for 1 hour.
Yeah.
You know, I had 5 years of the Nazis. I know what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So don't say to me I'm a Nazi.
Oh, okay. God forbid.
My father. Yeah.
No, really, really, really not.
Really.
Yeah,
and I apologize. I do apologize, Celia.
Yeah.
I just...
My father was shot by the damn Germans. So don't give me that bullshit.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
All right.
She sounds like, you know, Koch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, what religion are you, Celia?
I'm Lutheran.
That's wonderful. Martin.
I'm Scandinavian.
So
you can imagine.
Okay.
Gary D. don't know anything about it, but the rabbi know about it.
Yes, Celia.
Yeah.
And I think that you're, I mean, really, really right. And I think that one of the great tragedies is, I mean, you suffered, and you know. The tragedy is how many people...
I tried to tell it here, nobody believe it.
You're right, because people don't like to think about unpleasant things.
No, I know that.
Okay, but you're right.
I don't like to think about it either.
And keep it up, really.
Okay.
Don't change.
Celia, thank you for waiting. Okay, let's go to Joanne on WMCA. Thank you for waiting, Joanne. You're on the air. 23 now, past 6 o'clock. The Gary D. Program and our guest, Rabbi Meir Kahana.
Hi, Gary. Very fine show today. Rabbi, I'd like to know, what is the Jewish idea of forgiveness? I heard the other day a Christian theologian who said that Waldheim should be forgiven because the Christian religion is one of love. I'd like to know, what is the Jewish idea as far as forgiveness is concerned with the Nazis? And I have a second question.
Okay, fine. Look, someone who is evil has to be punished, and then I'll forgive him. I mean, God isn't some ho-ho-ho kind of... you know, Santa Claus and everything is forgiving, and you can kill and you can rape and you can murder, but I'll forgive you. If that's the, you know, Catholic view, that's a perverted view, because when you just say to somebody who was a Nazi, who took part in murdering people, I forgive you for it, you're spitting into the graves of innocent people.
Well, so you believe in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye.
Sometimes I think that we should have two eyes for an eye.
Really?
The fact of the matter is,
God,
that evil people should be punished, because otherwise, why should other people not be evil too?
Well, you go to confession.
Well, that and a dollar gets me in the subway free. Of course one has to confess, but if one did something terrible, he has to be punished for it. Otherwise, we're going to do it again and again and again. So Wertheim should be punished, and then I'll forgive him.
Okay, that is your question, Joanne?
I have a second one about the Pope. And I'd like to know, is there any theological reason why the Pope cannot recognize Israel? And what is your position on the internationalization of Jerusalem?
Excellent question.
When they, well, you know, on the day that they decide to do that to the Vatican, I'll think about Jerusalem. What do you mean, internationalize my city, my capital city? What are you talking about? Go, I mean, try it on London or on mm-hmm. Beijing. What are you talking about? That's the first thing. But your first question is, I think, really a very, very basic question. When I see Jews running around, you foolish little dwarfs, Jewish leaders, pygmies, running around saying the Pope should recognize Israel. What are they talking about? This isn't a political problem. It's a theological question. For 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has had as dogma that the reason why the Jews lost their land, and the reason why the Jews are in exile, and the reason why Jews can never go back to their land is because they didn't accept Jesus. It's a theological, this is divine punishment. Now suddenly the Jews have come back to the country. There's a Jewish state. It's a theological problem for them. They can't recognize Israel. Because by recognizing Israel, they have to deal with the question, what about the fact that the Jews still don't recognize Jesus?
While we're talking about Catholics and Jews, now the Jews in your synagogue, do you play bingo?
Bingo? That's one of the abominations. If you want to play bingo, I'm going to go to some local Baptist church, but not in a synagogue.
Baptist, sir, do not play bingo.
Good. And real Jews don't either. And certainly not in a synagogue.
We don't belly dance. We don't play the organ. We don't play bingo.
You follow true Judaism, I see.
And now I'm a true Southern hard-shell Baptist, Rabbi.
But you guys borrowed it from us. Ethiopia are as much Jews as Jews who, you know, come from you know, who are descended 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. It's an important thing that we stop talking about blood, Semitic
blood.
Wouldn't
it really be better? I'm seeing the light now.
Yeah.
For all Jews in New York to go to Israel, we get rid of all these crooked politicians, or a lot of them, and then all blacks go back to Africa. And the Jews and the blacks do their thing.
No, because...
Huh?
Of course not.
Because
no? The blacks are Americans. The blacks don't... The average black
mm-hmm.
doesn't want to go back to Africa. Mm-hmm. If he wants to go back to Africa, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't want to go back to Africa. He's an American.
Milford, do you want to go back to Africa?
You're Rabbi Kahana.
No.
Yes, Jones. Yeah,
you can do something.
To visit. Milford from Jamaica, anyway. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear many foolish young Jews continually call talk shows.
Yes.
Revealing their ignorance and saying how Jewish leaders in America were not militant, vocal enough to save Jews in Europe in the 40s. Will you please explain to these foolish Jews about Theodor Herzl and Zeb Jabotinsky of blessed memory, how they spent most of their lives warning these European Jews that their grandchildren and children were dead if they didn't leave? Will you please
that
aspect?
Yeah, but you see, I don't think that there's really, really any argument here. There is no question that those Jews, of course, Jabotinsky and Herzl and Nordaus and so on, did, of course, warn. I think that those young Jews that call in are certainly not talking about those people. Mm-hmm. What they're talking about is the American Jewish leaders in the 1940s, Stephen Wise and so on and so forth, who during the Holocaust, when they knew that the Holocaust was, of course, taking place, did not rise up and shout and scream and protest and didn't do for their people what Martin Luther King did for blacks. So I don't think that you're really saying anything different. There is no question that there were those handful of Jews in Europe who cried out and protested, and you know, people simply did not listen.
Well,
but the American Jewish leader was a loser.
Yeah, but they told them to go to Palestine. They refused to go.
Right. You're right. Absolutely. You're right. You're right.
They were dead in the 40s.
You're right. Okay. Well, in the 40s.
Well, what can we learn from all this?
What can we learn from more? From
bring it up to today. Are we going to have another Hitler? Can we have another? Now, you say there can be another raging
Hitler.
Anti-Semitism.
I think that there is raging anti-Semitism, raging anti-black feeling. I think that there is raging hate in this country beneath the surface. And I think that given an economic crash
in 1990, well, when everything in the market today, it's going to go down. Everything, we're all going to be on the streets. Now, what's going to happen?
Well, if that happens, I think that there is no question that a demagogue, a great speaker, a demagogue.
Another Hitler.
Yes, I think that that's possible. I think that Germans were no worse than any other people. It's nonsense. Well, Germans were different. That's nonsense. Germans are people like anybody else. They voted for Hitler. He didn't seize power. They voted him in because they were frightened, desperate people. They were in the streets, and he had no hope. Don't tell me that it couldn't happen here. Please, God, it'll never happen. I hope to God it never happens.
Right,
but never say it can happen here, because if anyone would have bet, if any Jew would have heard in 1925 that there's going to be a Hitler here, he would have laughed. Would he be crazy? Well,
mm-hmm. Okay. Well, your position, the synagogue's position, just like the Catholics, on women. What about women rabbis, Rabbi Mayer?
No.
Anna? No.
No.
Okay.
No.
No. Just no, huh?
Just no.
Okay, what about sex? How do you stand on sex?
It's here to stay.
It's here to stay, okay. Do we use a condom? Do we take pills? How do Jews feel about birth control, Rabbi?
Jews are not for it, except if it's a question of, you know, health, you know,
uh-huh.
you know, danger, the danger of the woman.
You're not for birth control?
No, I have grandchildren, 11 of them, 2 more coming on the way, and please God, they're going to keep coming.
I see. But do you believe any kind of rhythm method like the Catholics?
Well,
mm-hmm.
Jews should have babies.
Jews should have babies.
Now, we lost two million babies in the Holocaust, and we owe Hitler something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jewish women should be fertile.
Jewish women should be fertile, and men too.
Okay. What about abortion?
Absolutely not, except except to save the life of the mother.
All right. What about gays in the synagogue, gays in Israel? What about homosexual Jews?
Well, obviously.
Do they have any place in your congregation in the synagogue, Rabbi?
Any Jew, if he's a sinner, is a Jew, and he has a place in the synagogue. Certainly he has, but it's wrong. It's a sin.
It is?
Yes, it is.
Is it an abomination?
It certainly is.
Mm-hmm. But what do you do with the Jews that are gay?
You, of course, help them.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but you don't, give in to them,
okay,
and say it's okay. It is not okay. We want to help you, but it is not okay.
Uh-huh. Do gays go to heaven?
All Jews go to heaven, and all decent people go to heaven.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
All decent people. Gary, I mean,
Mayor Koch, is he going to heaven?
He's going to go to heaven, but he's going to get a small room.
Yeah. Okay. I want to clear these up, before I go under the knife.
Okay.
Okay. Here's me.